Tallulah Randall. Okay, time is so tight we need to move straight away to the young lady who's actually said she's on air now. She's a top director, now based in Los Angeles, in a beach, on a beach, bikini beach. It's Ilana Rain. How are you, Ilana?
Hey, Alex, and thank you for saying Bikini Beach. Phil and I were eagerly waiting for you, but you left out the disco part.
Yeah, yes. I thought, you know, we could do disco, but let's face it, to get those shiny balls on the beach, it could be a nightmare, even with California in excess.
Yes, shiny balls on the beach can be a problem.
I would have thought so, yeah. And I never thought I'd get that past our censor. But anyway, whatever. Let's carry on regardless. Gabriella Peralta, questions for Ilana Rain.
Just really, what you've been doing really this week?
What have you been doing? Yeah. Is it chilling out in the West Coast? You know,
you
artistic directors.
Well, you know, just recently emerged yesterday from a rather grueling part of our script rewrite, and I feel like a phoenix rising, and great clarity has come to my little corner of Silver Lake, and so I'm feeling in a really good mood, and moving ahead, and, you know, this whole process is just so fascinating, because, you know, I don't even think a roller coaster metaphor does justice what it's like to be in development with a film. And, you know, it's these things that we hold on to, that I hold on to, that can really help through the ups and downs of, you know, conflict and, you know, just grueling hours. And that, to me, is faith and inspiration and where inspiration comes from. And, you know, it's just gotten me thinking about all the people throughout my life since I was a young child who appeared at really important moments to give kind words or support. And, you know, it's a good day, and I'm just having a very nice retrospective look at how I got to this point.
In other words, reflecting on the joy of the past to experience even more wonderment in the future.
More wonderment in the future. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's all really connected, isn't it? I mean, especially, you know, as making a film about, you know, that involves traveling through time and, you know, using, you know, that as you know, how we position ourselves in the present, how we can use moments from the past to inspire us in the present and thinking towards the future, but how I personally like to see all three combined, and that helps me, and that helps me through some difficult times. So it's a good thing, good perspective to have.
If I were to say, Ilana, in your time in New York, when of course you're on the East Coast as opposed to West Coast, did you actually flag up the excitement of Commando or Red Sonja or indeed Rocky III, you might as well think, have I taken leave of my senses? No, because that's what James has been writing his dissertation about, representation of masculinity in 1980s movies. James, questions for yourself.
Last week, briefly, we were talking about your latest movie, Eclipse. I was wondering if you have any other inspirations floating around.
Like Commando or possibly Rocky III?
Maybe not Commando or Rocky III.
Commando, Alex, are you saying Commando? Because that's not appropriate on Bikini Beach.
Well, I did think that might have been an interesting line. Yeah, we'll go with that.
We have some standards.
Yes.
We do have some standards of decorum on Bikini Beach.
Precisely.
Any size bikini is fine, but, you know.
Don't go.
Yeah, inspiration. Thank you for the question, because, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, with Ellipse, that served as one part of the inspiration for the feature that I'm working on now that's in development and hopefully very soon moving into pre-production. But really the main source of inspiration for that comes from my mother. And she is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. And it's a degenerative disease that affects, as most of you probably know, affects one's memory more short-term than long-term. So, you know, over the past 2 years, I've been with her and watching her. I mean, she's still in New York now, but when I'm with her, as a distancing mechanism, I began to just study her, and I realized that she is, in fact, time traveling when she goes back to a memory, say from her childhood or vacation she took with my dad, and she's genuinely there and present in that moment. And that got me thinking about how we all time travel in our own lives, and it's just a matter of how much energy or commitment we put to that memory. But when, and most of us who don't have dementia or Alzheimer's are able to actually come back to the present quite readily and easily, but if you do have this disease, then it's harder to do that, and one can get lost. So I would have to say my mother has been my inspiration for this film, and I want to honor her with this, and that's another reason why we're on this rather accelerated time schedule, that everyone I'm involved with, including my producer and the people we'll be getting funded from, understand that it's very important that my mother is able to watch this movie with her, as much of her cognitive reasoning in place, so she can actually really fully grasp.
And of course, interesting enough, Jamie Anderson, son of the late great Gerry Anderson, who suffered also from Alzheimer's. That's one of the reasons he was so keen to ensure that his father's legacy is maintained. So it gives a nice little companion piece to both of the sections there. Now, I know that Phil Leonis will be waiting eagerly to actually connect. Time is getting on, so we need to throw those last two questions to Ilana, Ray, and Gabriella.
Ilana, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, but not long enough. And I trust that Phil will continue our conversation as we've been secretly passing notes to each
really?
Other since this began. Oh, yeah.
My word.
No, you see, Phil and I just have a wonderful non-corporeal...
thinking is the best way to travel.
Yeah, well, we communicate through text and just, you know, just imagining what... Yeah. Person might say. I have many imaginary conversations still in my head.
Well, there we are once again. A little peek into the cerebellum of Ilana Raine. Always exciting. Next question, please.
Will you be connecting with us again?
Really, so.
Yes, absolutely. Ilana Raine will return like an Easter bunny in full force.
Bunny.
Bunnies on the beach, Ilana. Bunnies on the beach.
Bunnies on the beach. Got to keep going.
Such a drive to want something sometime or someday.
That's right, Chrissy Hynde. You tell it like it is, babe.
You've changed. You've changed.
Your place in this. And to think she started off as a music journalist.
You've changed your place in this world.
Hey-ho.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yay! Are we riding that weather? Are we under the weather? Are we on top of the weather? What sort of weather are we actually having, Phil Leonis? Good evening, good afternoon, and as we approach noon in Los Angeles, a pleasure and a delight, sir, to welcome you onto the program.
I am still flabbergasted by the phrase that Richard Fitzwilliams uttered earlier in the show. By no means is it hagiographic.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't wow. And thank goodness, because the one thing I will not allow is for things to become hagiographic.
So true. We have.
I had to look up the word online. You know, I'm a wordsmith. Carefully chosen words are the tools of my profession, and I had to look it up online.
You see, so. Phil, that's why we like to bring a little bit of education into the whole system. Meanwhile,
and to think that that phrase came up while he was reviewing a movie called Bikini Beach Disco. That's so strange to me.
Yeah, strange but true. Gabriella, apologies to your uncle Douglas, who of course was a bit concerned that he had to cover his chihuahua's ears up earlier.
Yeah. The mention of pugs.
The mention of pugs, right. Said it again? Oh no!
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bosie.
Minds. Anyway, the floor is yours now, Phil. I can happily close my microphone down. As you know, sadly, Holly Cox and Fatini Efstathiou had to leave us to do dancey things and performances and such like in front of house material. Gabriella and James are still with us, of course. And you've got Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Jamie Anderson, Tallulah Rendell, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ilana Rain, telepathically speaking. Where do you want to start?
I would like to start with Phil Lairness.
Always good.
Because I brought a little bit of news, and before you close your microphone, Alex, you might actually get a kick out of this. Tomorrow, my co-host on your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, the free weekly podcast I've been hosting since May of 2007, Dean Haglund and I will be participating in a documentary about podcasting, and we are one of the shows being featured in this documentary.
There we are.
And as I am with just about any idea that anybody hits me with, I'm resistant. Because, you know, I'd probably have to get dressed before noon. Mm. I mean, you know, it's such a demand on my time. But I am honored to be a part of it. And I also, as you know, I do love the form of podcasts. I do love this. You know, we talked about this without ever coming to any really logical terminology for it, but at a podcast festival in Los Angeles in fall, where many of the most popular podcasts around the world recorded live in front of audiences, we were talking about how it really is its own art form. You know, at first there was this, inclination to call it internet radio or what have you, but that was just like the way that early television was called, you know, radio with pictures. And so podcasting really has taken on its own life, its own art form, and it, certainly it's not an art form, it's certainly its own medium. And so I'm thrilled to get to be a part of a documentary that explores the medium, hopefully with some insight. And anyway, I bring that up because I wanted to thank you, Alex, because you've done no small part in not only informing what we talk about each week on the show, but also turning other people on to the joys of our show and the joys of podcasts in general.
It is truly wonderful. Of course, I just see we're up to 1,844 episodes of Midweek Drive and stuff that we've actually sort of put on since we started the new Podbean account back in May 2010.
How many is that again?
1,844 episodes.
Okay, you had better think very carefully about what will be contained
in the 2000s.
In podcast episode 2001.
Yes, podcast. Oh, yes, yeah. It's already crossing my mind, Phil, but never mind. We've been there, we've seen it.
Gary Lockwood has to be available, right, to push his book. Is he still alive, Gary Lockwood?
Listen, it's James T. Kirk, not James R. Kirk. That's the whole thing.
Very well played. Hey, you know what? I watched was Firefly, was the TV series Firefly popular there in the UK?
Well, yes. In a cult fashion, yes. Of course, Nathan Fillion, and of course, you got Jewel State in there, and you've got the fabulous Morena Baccarin. So, yeah, obviously, even the movie Serenity. But it was cut before its time, as many
Absolutely.
Joss Whedonites fans would actually say. But if I actually said the word Firefly, I bet Gabriella Peralta would say, no.
I'm going to say exactly that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
James Kennison.
Gabrielle, watch the movie Serenity. Rent the movie Serenity. It's a science fiction film. It's an adventure film. It's an action film. And I saw this movie when it came out. I heard about it when it came out. I saw it when it came out on home video. And I had never even heard of the TV series on which it's based. I mean, when I saw the movie, I did not actually know, because I had not been a fan of Joss Whedon's work. So I kind of ignored it. And I saw this movie and loved the movie, and that's what inspired me to go back and watch the TV series. So it really is a fantastic, it's one of my favorite science fiction films, it's one of my favorite adventure films, and it really stands on its own. But anyway, the reason that I brought this up, Alex, was I rewatched the movie, and of course the movie was written and directed by the man who created the show, and I was staggered by the continuity errors between the movie and the TV show. And what's even more staggering is that in deleted scenes or in alternate versions of those scenes, he got the material right. Exactly. But in the takes that he used, sometimes there were continuity errors. So
Joss
I
Whedon,
don't know.
Pay attention.
Yeah, I don't know why I bring this up. Except
maybe it's because it's a mutant enemy
so.
That's fallen into place. Right? It's grr, arg, well, all over the place.
Partly it's because I don't have anything to disagree with Richard Fitzwilliam on. I was so excited to get into a debate with Richard Fitzwilliam.
I know.
And by the way, I thought I would address here a question that Alana passed to me in a note, which was when she asked me after Richard got on the air this morning whether or not he was for real or whether, in fact,
so true.
Whether he was a parody.
Yeah.
And and my answer, of course, is if Richard Fitzwilliams was
are
not
you real,
real,
Richard, or are you a parody?
No, it, but
Gabriella, you've met him.
Real,
is he real? Is he a parody?
I haven't actually met him in real life. I wasn't
of
there.
Of course,
in
you
London.
Weren't. You weren't
no.
in London. That's quite right. Yes,
I'm sure he's real though.
Well, it'd be great if it turns out it's me. It is just me, like doing a phony. It's by no means hagiographic. No, if Richard Fitzwilliams did not exist, we would have to create him. That's how important Richard Fitzwilliams is and how delightful he is. The world is so much better for having Richard Fitzwilliams in it, and especially when he makes contributions to the Midweek Drive. And what a rare treat to have.
Said he would be asking for an increase on his salary cut at this stage, Phil. So, you know, we have to just beware about this. But yes.
Only if, so I had nothing to disagree with him about, which was just so so disappointing because I wanted to get into a good old-fashioned verbal Donnybrook with him. But this movie that he alluded to, that was Asghar Farhadi's previous award-winning film prior to The Past, and The Past is an outstanding movie, but this movie, A Separation, was my favorite film of the year it came out. And it's interesting that it would have discussion of it would have come immediately after you were talking about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's Separation, because here's a movie that's all about sensitivity to the ramifications of something as simple as a couple breaking up, the sometimes wide-ranging ramifications that can have not only on just other members of the family, but on the community. And it's the sort of film where maybe if more people in the media saw it, then the way they would characterize and cover celebrity breakups would have more sensitivity, because after all, it's not just about the two famous people. There's a whole lot of other people that are affected emotionally and sometimes quite deeply from those sort of circumstances. And one of the things I love about the Midweek Drive is no matter what the topic is, and you cover any range of topics, so often the more subtle ramifications do get talked about in human terms.
Exactly. We, you know, that's why we have them available as podcasts, so you can actually decode and deconstruct the whole thing there. We work so hard. Brian Walton, thank you for saying hello there, Midweek Drive gang. FAB from me, Brian Walton. Can you request something? Yes, and we've got it. I shall say no more. Okay, we'll wrap up the show with this. Thunderbirds are go. Mind you, that's not what he's requested. However, moving on. We're going to squeeze a little bit of Mike Dooley, but James, anything you'd like to add to Phil, or sort of observations, or where you'd like to guide him for the...
What does today hold for Phil Nunes? That's what I want to
know.
Well,
noon. It's nearly noon now, of course. It's 10 to...
For a student, that's the whole day.
He's quite right, yeah.
And I am nothing if not not a student. I do like to think that. I am... My pages are blank as I walk through this life, because if they aren't blank, there's a chance the truth will not be written upon them. Boy, that was fantastic for you. What the day holds for me is I'm going to go to a screening of Wes Anderson, the delightful Wes Anderson's new film that's supposed to be outstanding, The Grand Budapest.
I've seen it.
We've both seen it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Good film, good choice.
And even Richard Fitzwilliams rated it, you know.
Everyone from Avery Drive.
And, well, you know what I'm going to do? Why don't I just, this will be fun for everybody, won't it? Because it'll be an insight into celebrity cult failure, Phil Lernis's lifestyle. I'm just going to read for you my to-do list for today, since James asked. Won't that be exciting? I'm writing an essay about the archetype, the Hierophant, in the major arcana of the Tarot. I will finish watching Mike Nichols' Catch-22 movie. I will be outputting a trailer for my new film, The Lady Killers. I'll be taking many things to the recycling center. I will be appearing on a UK radio show called The Midweek Drive. Oh, I guess I can cross that one off. I will be doing a hand count inventory of all the Blu-rays of my previous documentary, The Truth Is Out There, which, by the way, are sort of available for sale. And the film is available for sale in so many forms at truth-is-out-there.com. I will be, oh my goodness, I'll be writing an essay based on my reading of the archetypes and the Hierophant for a book that I've been working on, a book of spells, a kind of motivational book that I've been tasked to write. And that's about half my list. I'm going to a farmer's market also to get fresh produce. James, was that exciting?
In a hurry, step one for changing the entire world is falling in love with it as it already is. Same for changing yourself. You like the universe.
Just felt we had to put that in when you mentioned farmer's market, Phil. There's nothing personal, but... Yeah. Change yourself. Get in step with the whole thing. I wonder if he's coping with the possible sleepless nights, Mike, these days. Now he has a young child to look after as well. And we'll find out, sure, in the very near future. Gabriella, would you like to bowl those last two questions?
Oh, last two questions.
Like, we're kind of at that stage. If we want to get in Brian Walton's request.
Oh, true. Okay. Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It's been a lot of fun, especially passing notes back and forth in class with Alana during my appearance.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully, next week?
Oh, yeah. Next week I'll get to the notes that I actually had about this week's show.
Got 30 seconds, if you wish, Phil, to actually share those moments with us. So a little highlights, a little tease ahead.
I'll give, in a Mike Julius fashion, I'll try to give something inspiring. And I think it's so important for maybe the students to hear because it's something that I continue to learn in my life. And it's something that Alana really addressed. You know, one of the reasons I think creative people gravitate towards such unstable careers and within that, such unstable projects within those careers, because we're not gravitating towards easy projects, built-in audiences. One of the reasons we do it, we gravitate towards the unstable, is because if we can learn to navigate the ever-changing and sometimes terrifying waters, then we will become the stability we seek. And then I think, no matter how our stories turn out, we'll model for other people something worthwhile, because this world is rapidly changing. It is always changing, and the news can always be so scary, and the sky seems to always be falling somewhere. But if we could always remember that stability is not something that comes from without, it's something that comes from within, then we can walk through that ever-changing landscape with real grace and dignity.
Holly Cox, Fatini F. Stathew, we salute you. We thank you, dear listener, for taking part. Penny Evans, Brian Walton et al. Gabriella, enjoyed the show?
Of course I have.
Back again tomorrow morning?
Yep, Brian early.
Exactly, 8 a.m. And James?
You know I have.
There we are. Back again tomorrow morning? No, you don't. Seems crazy. Okay, that's it. That's a wrap for the Midweek Drive as far as the Wednesday slot is concerned. Back tomorrow morning with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Later on this evening, 9 o'clock, we've got Groundworks with Siren, a whole heap of other goodies. Brian Walton asked for Lionel Richie.
Oh, great song.
Goodbye.
Which one?